Curtailment on a related concept, when you're a shipper again or when you're transporting, you're securing firm service, you are seeking reliability to move your product across the pipe. Curtailment is what happens when something gets in the way. So it could be anything from maintenance or operational constraints or delays that prevent molecules from moving across the pipe. Issues and considerations you want to keep in mind when you're looking at curtailment, obviously pay attention to the scope. What falls within curtailment? Does force majeure fall into curtailment? If you're a transporter, for example, have you thought about routine maintenance that you'll need to pursue in operation of the pipeline? You want that to be included or thought about in the conversations about curtailment. The other thing you want to think about is, how is curtailment measured? Is it measured on a receipt point by receipt point basis? Is it measured on an aggregate of receipt point basis? What about the time frame? Is it measured on an hourly basis? Is it measured on a daily basis? Is it measured on a yearly basis? What does that look like? And that's important because there are various triggers in any transportation service agreement that will yield certain remedies once those tolerances are exceeded. The other thing I want to mention here is that you want to think about adding in tolerances for de minimis curtailments. And that's because, for obvious reasons, there are going to be operational things that happen that prevent molecules from moving down a pipe. While that's lowercase c curtailment, that doesn't mean that the contract should be breached. You want to give the transporter a means by which, time by which, to remedy that curtailment so that the contractual commitments can remain in place. The other thing you want to think about is obviously the cause of curtailment. Is curtailment being caused and the transporter can't take my molecules because I've delivered off-spec gas into the system? You want to think about the scope of that, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later as well. Again, curtailment has a ripple effect in contracts. Anytime you're thinking about curtailment in a transportation agreement, think about also force majeure. Think about also minimum volume commitments or extensions of term. How does that impact all those provisions? And again, you can tell in any contract, there's any number of push-pull levers that can affect other parts of the contract. Something to keep in mind. Again, as a shipper, the takeaway here, make sure that you've insured your pathway. And then make sure you also pay attention to how curtailment is handled in a contract. Again, you've secured firm service. Interruptible service should be curtailed first. Then firm service should be curtailed. And within firm service, it should be curtailed on a pro rata basis. So all those distinctions are really critical issues that you want to pay attention to in transportation service agreements. I mentioned this earlier as kind of a recourse when you've had curtailment exceed certain thresholds. Think about temporary and permanent releases. These provisions essentially, let me give you a scenario. If a transporter has built out a pipeline to your field to move large quantities of gas from the field, you've obviously put a substantial amount of capital commitment. Your producer, you know, the transporter, may seek from the shipper a desire to make sure that they capture all of the production in a certain designated area. What happens then when there's curtailment exceeding a certain period of time, right, where you can't get your gas to market because something operationally is affecting the pipeline? One of the mechanisms in transportation agreements is temporary release, where perhaps that gas is temporarily released from the commitment under the contract and you can deliver it to a third party or an alternate means to get it somewhere. Oil might be an easier example to think about, but if you've got a dedicated transportation contract with a particular transporter who for whatever reason can't take it, and you've exceeded whatever the limits are that you've negotiated in the contract, there may be a provision that allows you to procure an alternative trucking company to move your oil out of the field. And so that would fall under your temporary release provisions. Couple things to think about here. When does the temporary release provision apply? Right? Under what circumstances do they apply? In the oil scenario, if you're under a temporary release or you're utilizing the temporary release provision, you've probably gone out and procured a short-term contract with an alternative trucking company to move barrels out of the field. How much notice do you need to switch that contract off? How easily can you get out of that contract? Once the transporter comes back online, you've committed that production under that contract and you've got to give it back to the transporter so they can continue on the commitments. How much time do you need from the transporter in order for you to cancel those contracts? Oftentimes they're short term, and there's provisions in TSAs, for example, it'll say something along the lines of they prohibit evergreen provisions so that there's a natural end to those short term contracts. Things like that are things that you'll definitely want to keep in mind. A couple other things. This is all good and well to talk about alternative or temporary releases, but if there are no alternatives in your market, it's maybe all for naught, right? In a pipeline context, for example, if you're in a very remote field and you've got a pipeline network built out to you, if that pipeline network goes down, what are your options, right? Your best option is to find the next closest pipeline system that can take it and think about how long it's going to take to construct those two lines to come into your facilities to move out alternate pathway for your gas. Again, those are commercial and economic considerations, things that you ought to think about in advance. But a lot of time is spent on temporary release provisions, and you really have to think about what the practicality of it ultimately is. Is it really worth the hassle of going through it? What does that look like? Are there alternatives now, or will there be additional pipeline systems in the future that give you some capacity? The last thing I want to mention on temporary and permanent releases is permanent release. It could get to the point where, for example, your gas, there may be operational constraints with a transporter. Or let's say, for example, you bring on gas onto the system that's so off spec, you can't treat it, the transporter can't take it, the transporter can't blend it. What do you do with it? There may be provisions then allowed that allow you to permanently release that portion of the gas from the contract so that you can take it to an alternative transporter who can handle it. And so those are things that, again, you'll want to keep in mind.